Hi, this is Harold Anderson from Valley Eye Radio, and welcome to our special program on Westfield. Westfield, as you know, was incorporated back in May 1669, and this makes its 350th anniversary. And boy, are they celebrating. We got to be part of that celebration, and we have with us today Harry Rock, who's president of the Friends of the Westfield 350th Committee. Welcome, Harry.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Westfield, you've been a lifelong resident, or did you move?
No, I moved here. I've been a YMCA administrator my entire adult life, and so I came here from Westfield, New Jersey, interestingly enough. Oh. Been with the YMCA down there and was looking for my first CEO executive director position, and ended up in Westfield, Massachusetts, which I have loved. We moved here, my wife and I, 28 years ago, and we're both retired now, but we love our community, and we're going to stay here. We're not fleeing off to Florida or some other place. All our friends are here. It's the longest we've ever lived any place. All of our activities are here. We love the lifestyle. We love the community. We love the values of the community. We love Western Massachusetts in particular, and so this is going to be our home till the end.
What attracted you to Westfield? Why did you choose it?
Well, it was a career move for me, but a couple of things. One, I'd always been a skier. I was living in New Jersey at that point. There's not much snow in New Jersey, so I was interested in getting back into New England. So that part of it was of interest to me, but it was really the opening as the executive director of the Westfield YMCA at the time. It was a career move, quite frankly. But I honestly thought I was only going to be there for about 5 years and then move on up the ladder to larger cities and larger Ys with bigger budgets and more impact. But we really found a home there. We just enjoyed the values. We loved the community, the family atmosphere. My wife is a teacher. She ended up getting a job. And quite frankly, every time I had moved, she would lose her job and have to start all over again. Yeah. And I said, you know what? We've found a place that we both like. More money is always nice, but is it necessary? No, it's about quality of life and the friends and the connections you make. And we end up staying. And now that we're both retired, we're staying there. We just love the community. And again, I love the mountains of the Berkshires and just the proximity to Vermont and New Hampshire to Boston to New York. It's just a great place to live.
What got you interested in Westfield history?
Actually, nothing. I wasn't particularly interested in Westfield history at the time. I mean, I knew a little bit simply because of living there. You can't help but take it in and go through some of the lectures that the Westfield Athenaeum was running. But it was really when the mayor's office reached out to me. They knew about 2 years ago that they had this 350th anniversary coming, and they were looking for some key help to take care of running that. And I joined the committee and was just looking for something like once a month type of thing. I was just looking for some easy lifting and maybe just a way to stay connected to some people. And next thing I know, they're asking me if I would take charge of the whole thing and create an organization, because we had no money. There was no organization. We were just a bunch of people sitting around a table at the time. And they wanted to really create a separate 501c3 standalone organization. You could do the fundraising and handle all the finances and do all the planning. So I thought about it, and I said, you know, Harry, it's going to be a lot of work, and it has been more than I anticipated, I will admit. But for me, it was about the opportunity to say thank you to a community that has meant so much to me and to my wife. We found a home here. Both of us have had the bulk of our careers here. We love the community. We love the people. And I said, you know what? 350 only comes around once. Somebody's got to do it. And it's our way to say thank you to a community that has given us so much. A wonderful place to live, great friends, wonderful jobs. It was our time to step up and give back and create an experience for the rest of the community to really enjoy.
So this whole experience has taught you a lot about Westfield and Westfield history.
It has. We had three goals in mind right from the get-go. Number one, we wanted to be more than just a weekend of activities, right, which you see a lot of. And so we kind of bit off a lot more than I expected to. But when you roll everything out, it's going to be a solid 6 months of activities. But we wanted three things. That it be fun, because if it's not fun, nobody's going to want to be a part of it. Two, that it be memorable, meaning do it on a scale large enough to have impact and on a scope of quality that people would remember looking back and say, wow, what a great experience that was. That was meaningful. It was truly reflective of what 350 years is all about. But three, and most importantly, that it be educational. Yeah. We did not want it just to be about features, meaning parades and fireworks. Now, we've done that at first night, and we will do that again on our birthday weekend, and we've got a huge parade scheduled. It'll be the biggest fireworks show Westfield has ever seen because we're putting some major resources behind it. But most importantly, that it be educational, to allow the citizens of the city, particularly our children, the opportunity to learn and reflect upon where we have come from, to appreciate where we are, that creates that inspired vision of the future. And that, to us, has been really critical. So we have done everything we can to make sure that all of our programming matched up with one or two of those three goals: fun, memorable, educational. And to that point, we created a book, worked with the Republican newspaper. Okay. And so we have a book on the history of Westfield that rolled out just after Thanksgiving. It has sold 240-page glossy-covered book, beautiful. We produced 2,000 copies, and we have probably sold maybe 1,400 to date. That will sell out. It's $39.95 a copy. There will not be a second run on it. But it's been very, very popular, and people love it, especially anyone that's grown up in Westfield, because it takes you from 1669, when we were just a small frontier town, essentially, to the present. It takes you through the tragedies, the floods, the fires, the industry, the different sects of populations that have come through, the Polish, the Irish, the Hispanic, mm-hmm. the Russian, Ukrainian, all of that. It's fascinating to read it. But again, filled with photographs, because people don't like to read as much now. Yeah. But they love to glance and look at photographs, and it came off really well. We also have created a play that will roll out on our big birthday weekend called The Time in Westfield. It's a musical written by Kathy Palmer, and music has been created by Marion Dunk. That play will roll out the weekend before the birthday weekend and the birthday weekend itself. It is a fun look at Westfield history. There's 40 different actors in it. The idea was to incorporate as many people as possible. There's major parts, and there's really parts for people who've never had any acting experience and are scared to death to stand on a stage. I always say, just wear pants large enough they can't see your legs shaking, you know, but speak with confidence. 2 weeks ago, we created, I call it a vignette, but a mini play that rolled out to all the third and fourth graders of the entire district. We went to 7 elementary schools in Westfield in 1 week and had a school assembly with all the third and fourth graders that came out. A fun play that talked about the roots of Westfield, colonial life, and just what made Westfield so special when you look at our history. And then after that play, all the actors who were in costume, obviously, went into each of the classrooms and gave a 40-minute workshop on specific topics, everything from the canal system that came through the New Haven to Northampton canal system, the Native Americans, early colonial life, cooking, and what was life like, and no electricity, and you had to live by candles. Games. We set up colonial games on the classroom floors, and the kids would rotate around and play the games. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So it's been a lot of fun for us. And then we have this lecture series, 14 lectures that we have done. Our turnouts have been huge. Our high just a couple of weeks ago was over 500. Wow. We've had over 400. We've had a couple in the 300s, bunch in the 200s. The turnout has been amazing for us, and that is a joint collaboration of our committee working with the First Congregational Church just off of Park Square Green in the center of the city and Westfield State University. And so the plays go back and forth depending on the topic and depending on who the speakers are coming from.
Yeah, and Valley Eye Radio, we've been to a couple of these
and recording them
for our listeners, so we'll be broadcasting them at some point and trying to get the audio so that people can take advantage of this information that you're providing.
And the thing that I would add to that, too, is that all of our lectures are being recorded, and they are being uploaded to our website, westfield350.org. If you go to that, you'll go to Media and Trivia, I think is the button, and you look down. Once you click on that, a drop-down menu hits, and you will see the lecture series videos. So we are videotaping every lecture that we have so that people who cannot come, the elderly, shut-ins, or people who have just been out of town, they can watch it at their convenience.
Yeah, that really works out. So how many people do you have on the committee, and how long did it take to plan?
We created a board of directors. There's 13 of us on that, and then each member of the board has a subcommittee that they're overseeing. So one might be on the educational and historical, one might be on special projects, one might be on merchandise sales, one might be on media, handling newspaper and website, Facebook. So we've got a bunch of these smaller committees, the parade committee, that we're working with. I would say all in total, we probably have about 70 volunteers. And then when we do the birthday weekend, we need a lot of extra help. So that's going to balloon up quite a bit. Our first night celebration had quite a few people involved. But the hours of planning, as you well know, and I've always said this, that when you think about planning anything, this is Harry Rock's assessment of things, 60% of your time has to be spent in the front-loaded pre-planning phase. 30% of your time will be the execution of the program itself, and then 10% is wrapping it up, cleaning it up, doing an evaluation.
Yeah, very important.
But if you don't put the time in up front, it will not roll out smoothly. And so we spend countless hours with our committees. And I'm retired, but I have a little desk up on the third floor at City Hall. I call the Pulse Center of the Westfield 350. I sit over the mayor's office. I'm there full-time 5 days a week, running the business side of the organization, keeping the committees going, getting agendas out, doing a lot of the ordering, and things that just need to get done during the day because I'm retired and most of our committee members are all working. But we have a dedicated group of volunteers. And as I always say, it takes a village. You can't do this unless you have a group of dedicated, motivated, inspired individuals who Yep. truly want to help make a difference. And we are blessed to have all of those. And they are by my side. Everybody says, oh, Harry, you're doing such a great job. I say, it's nothing to do with Harry Rock. Absolutely not. It's about the volunteers around us. They're the ones that are doing the work. It's just, it takes a village. It's a group effort, and I'm so proud of each and every one of them because they've really stepped up.
When did the celebration kick off, and is there an end in sight?
Yes, good question. We actually kicked off probably about a year ago, and it's important to note that there's no city tax dollars coming in on this. The city did not give me a budget to work with. So when they asked me to do this, they said, well, great, thank you for that, but by the way, you're going to have to raise all your money because there's no tax dollars to go into it. We do have support from the different departments, police and fire, DPW, our G&E, our local utilities. They've been wonderful. When I've needed help, they've stepped up. But there's no money that's come directly from the city budget to fund this. So that, and I took on the bulk of the fundraising responsibility, but it was going out and asking the community, especially the business community, for donations and writing grants. But we did do a couple of fundraising projects that Joyce Peregrine, who was the chair of our fundraising committee, set together. We had a comedy night right about this time, maybe it was in February a year ago. Then we had a big dinner gala at Stanley Park in August, I think it was. And we've had a couple of other smaller items such as that. But the lecture series really got us kicked off just right around Thanksgiving. It was our first of the 14.
Right.
Really the big start and the big beginning of the whole celebration was a first night celebration. So Westfield had never done one before. So on December 31st, which was a Monday this year, in the Amelia Park complex where the garden is, Ice Arena, Children's Museum, and Boys and Girls Club, we put together from 4 to 7, and I'll explain the 7 in a second. Parents loved it because they could get home at an early time, get the kids to bed. Kids had their midnight. And then parents could still go out and celebrate if they chose to. But we started with a family parade. We had stilt walkers, magicians, jugglers, giant monkey puppets. We had the marching band from the high school. It was so much fun. We created 6 s'more pits in the garden. Yeah. So we got these big fire pits, and the local high school hockey team came, and they kept our fire pits going. And then we made up 1,000 s'more kits with a marshmallow, chocolate bar, and graham crackers. And so everybody would come. We'd give them out a kit. They loved it. It was just amazing. To see kids who had never roasted a marshmallow over the fire before, or even parents. The parents were as enthralled with this and roasting their own marshmallows as the kids were. It was so much fun to watch. That was a huge hit. And then all three agencies had all kind of activities. it all culminated with a big fireworks show. And again, we've never done fireworks before. It started raining about 5 o'clock, which is what they predicted. It's the one time the weather people were definitely right on track, because it started raining right at five.
Wow.
But even in the rain, we had about 3,500 people show up for the fireworks. And then a lot of people drove to all the side streets and just watched it from their cars and stuff. But just a huge hit. And we went with 7 o'clock specifically because in 1669, we were under British rule. And okay. England is 5 hours ahead of us. So I did a little, you're starting to see where okay. this is going. So at 7 o'clock our time was midnight there. And I said, how do we get the kids to celebrate their New Year's? So we went with an English theme with it. Did a little research, found out that there was a Westfield in England. So we actually connected with them. And I had my own show, Rock On Westfield, on WSKB 89.5 in Westfield. And we went between our station and the BBC in England. This was really cool. We had set up monitors in both stations so they could see us and we could see them. And we did a full interview with them and they were interviewing us. And we tied in the celebration around England. So at 7 o'clock, we had a countdown. We played a little snippet of the interview where each community, we could hear their British accents wishing us a Happy New Year, and we were wishing them a Happy New Year. And then, boom, the fireworks went off, and it was so much fun. And we're just in the planning mode for the big birthday weekend, which is on May 17, 18, and 19, and that's what we're focused on right now.
Oh, still some more to come. Now, I heard about a 350th time capsule project.
That's underway right now. Interestingly enough, we kept doing some research because we figured that the 300th must have done in 1969. We're the fourth celebration, by the way. Yeah. These started in 1869, 1919, 1969, and now 2019. The next one will be, we're assuming that people will catch up on this and they'll do one in 2069 for the 400th. We thought that there might have been one for the 300th. We cannot find it anywhere.
Wow.
We cannot find anyone that knows of it. It's hard to believe because usually people always do one. Yeah. I know Springfield has done, I think, two full casket size time capsules, but we can't find anything. But we are putting one together. We're using funeral urns that have been donated by Fersh and Adams Funeral Home in Westfield. What we're doing right now is collecting items from all of the schools, churches, businesses, significant items that we can put in there that will be of interest. We're going to put a cell phone in there because who knows what a cell phone will look like 50 years from now because the technology is changing so much. So we want to give them a sense of what was life like right now in 2019 in Westfield. So we're putting a lot of items in there. We are going to bury it, and I put the word bury in quotations, on Friday the 17th, which is the date when we have our proclamation ceremony with all of our dignitaries. We're not actually going to bury it because we're really concerned about rain and frost. So we're going to bury it in the big, big, big safe in the city clerk's office. We're making sure it's going to be well labeled with instructions of what it is and when it's supposed to be reopened. So we're excited about that.
I've heard about that where someone has a capsule and then they can't find it anymore.
They can't find
it. Nobody remembers.
Right, or the metal broke and it got water damage and then you couldn't see anything inside it anymore.
Okay, tremendous tree project.
That is really exciting. Everybody loves trees. They're inherent to our world for production of oxygen. They provide shade, place for birds and animals to live. We wanted to get the community involved. We're working very hard to make sure that everybody's a part of this. We've asked people to say, what's your favorite tree? Yeah. Did you have a favorite tree growing up? Was it a tree that you used to climb? Is it a tree that you had a rope swing on? Is it a tree that you just loved looking at? Do you have your bird feeders? Whatever it is, take a picture of your tree, give us a write-up of why that's your favorite tree, and then send it in. And then we have a committee that's set up. We're collecting those right now. Those are actually coming in. We actually have a second grade classroom in the Abner Gibbs Elementary School. The whole classroom has taken this on as a project, and they're bringing it over to us. We're getting these submissions with photographs, write-ups, and then we'll be judging, and we have a bunch of fun surprises and stuff that we'll be giving people. It's, again, trying to promote civic pride. Everything that we have been doing has been about civic pride. Love your city, show your love, promote civic pride. Be proud of who our community is. And this is just one of the ways to do that.
In your postcards from Westfield, the part I liked most about it is it shows a lot of different images of Westfield, and it asks people, do you recognize these?
Yes. Off of one of our committees, one of the women came up with the idea, and she ran with it. She's done a phenomenal job with it. She went around Westfield, where City Hall is, which used to be Westfield State College when it was known as the Westfield Normal School, different companies, churches. Many of these have some kind of iconic image built into the architecture. And so she's taken pictures of those. And then she's made really fun little quotes on there saying to different people, just making it fun. But, hey, Harry, did you know that at the blah, 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 whatever it is, she's created a hint in this little phrase that she's got that goes along with a picture of what it might be. It's a big fold-out piece of paper, both front and back, with all these images on them, with these little quotes on them. People have to figure out what they are, fill out the thing, and then they're sending those back, and then we're basically grading them and to see how close they are to having the right answer. It's all about teaching the history of the city. It's forcing people to get out, walk around, drive around. Where is this image? Where is that? What is this? It's just having fun with it.
Yeah, getting people to pay attention, maybe for the first time, to what's around them.
Exactly right. Even here in Springfield or in any big city, if you look up, the best architecture is the ornamentation of the older buildings, of what they built. Not at street level, but when you look up and you say, wow, this was beautifully constructed, beautifully crafted by some architect at some point. And so we're trying to take those images and get people to realize that, yeah, Westfield is a gorgeous city.
So you fed people with s'mores. How are you going to do with pancakes?
We're doing this big family pancake breakfast. We're calling it the Community Pancake Breakfast. So on Saturday the 18th, which is a day packed with all kind of activities, we said, what better way to start than parents bringing their kids for a pancake breakfast? It's old Westfield. You know, you're going out for the Community Pancake Breakfast. Springfield does it very well here with their big pancake breakfast in the spring. We're really excited. It's going to be at the Westfield Middle School. And we have a program right now. We're asking citizens and businesses to sponsor a classroom. There's seven different elementary schools in the city, plus middle school and intermediate school. And we have three high schools, including the parochial schools. So we're asking people to sponsor a classroom. And so for $50, you sponsor a classroom, all of those kids will get a free pancake breakfast ticket that they can then bring their parents and their other siblings to share the breakfast. But we're really excited using this as a means by which to get the city to start coming out. We've got yoga going on that morning. We've got a bike rodeo going on that morning. We've got a bicycle quest going on the Columbia Greenway Rail Trail. We have a play that will be going on the afternoon. We have America's Fastest 5K Road Race going on in that afternoon. There's a block party on Elm Street that night. That leads into our Children's Carnival at 5:30 at the Amelia Park Complex. That will go until 7. We've got a lot of planning going around that. We're giving away 1,000 hot dogs that night to all the kids that come.
More food.
So more food. We got food everywhere. And then that will lead into a Beach Boys tribute band concert and then a big, big fireworks show to follow that. I said, come on out, get your carbs, get your good breakfast, and then be ready to go and hit all the different activities that we have for the day.
Are you going to try to give Springfield a run for its money?
Nope. Judy Mack, you have nothing to worry about. We will do what we can, but it will be much smaller than that. And I think it will probably be, based on the planning, the number of grills that we're ordering and tables and chairs, I think it will easily be the largest pancake breakfast Westfield has ever had. But it won't pale in comparison to what Springfield does.
Tell me a little bit about this parade that's going to be taking place during that weekend. I know there's Honoring the Heroes of Westfield, which is part of it. It's very intriguing.
Yeah, the theme is Honoring the Heroes of Westfield. It is going to be a big parade. It will stage at 11 o'clock at Stanley Park, and it will kick off at 1 o'clock. It will come down Western Avenue to Court Street, past the hospital, past the YMCA, past City Hall. The reviewing stand will be in the side lawn of the Westfield Athenaeum, which is our library. The parade will then turn left on Elm Street and head down Elm Street, which will be closed, and it will end down by where the bus terminal is. The idea of honoring the heroes of Westfield, I got that idea early on and shared it with the committee, and they all embraced it, so we have gone forward with this. But the intent is to really say thank you to those people who have served our city, our community, our country. Foremost in my mind are the veterans. the World War II group is going fast. The Korean age group is going fast. But we want to say thank you to the Vietnam group that came home to a lot of adversity and turmoil during the 60s, and certainly all the other conflicts that have happened since then. It is our responsibility as a community to say thank you to those people who have put their lives on the line, as well as those who did not come back. So that's where that comes from. But it's also honoring our police, fire, our legislators, people who serve our community, who serve our city, who serve our state, who serve our country. And the idea is to say thank you. We appreciate what you've done. We recognize what you've done. You've made a difference. And we would not be where we are without that. But the parade is going to be good-sized. We have 45 floats lined up right now. We have about 10 bands. We've got the Mummers coming out of Philadelphia for it. They will be the last act to come down. We've got horses. We have about 100 classic cars. We expect to have about 1,500 marchers. We've got antique tractors. Basically, if you can push it, if you can drive it, if you can put it in a trailer, you're welcome to be in the parade. We've got floats. It's really going to be a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to that. We just pray for good weather. We expect to have a flyover of the 104th Fighter Wing.
Of course,
which is, and that's a big deal. We had to apply to the Pentagon to get that. They don't just say, oh, yeah, yeah, throw a couple planes up in the air. That's a highly controlled, highly bureaucratic process that we had to get through, but we have gotten that out of the way, so we are excited about it. Casey Bellamy, our local gold medal women's hockey champion, will be marching with us. Team Hoyt, which is the father-son running team. He pushes his son in a wheelchair that you see at the Boston Marathon and so many other places, will be with us. U.S. Congressman Richie Neal is going to be with us. But we're excited about the parade. It's really going to be an opportunity to showcase Westfield. And one of the things that we're doing, too, and I definitely want to get this message out, is we want everybody to show their civic pride. So we're asking everyone to dress up their homes with lights. Just pull out your Christmas lights, your homes, a window, a tree, a shrub, businesses, whatever it is, let's dress up Westfield so we look like a big birthday cake for the weekend of May 17, 18, and 19, just to have some fun. But show your civic pride by putting some lights up, and let's let Westfield know that we love our city, and we're excited about our birthday celebration.
So if you never took your decorations down from Christmas...
Yeah, you're in good... Don't take them down yet.
You're all set.
Right, yeah.
You're already ahead of the game.
Yep.
All right, now you have some merchandise that people can get to commemorate.
Yeah, we do. We've had a number of things. Some of them are starting to sell out, and some things we won't be renewing only because we recognize it. Probably the most notable is the history book. We're really excited about that, $39.95. That can be purchased at the Westfield News on School Street or on the third floor where the Westfield 350 desk is in the community development office. It can also be purchased in any of the Westfield banks. In Westfield, there's four of them. They are our lead sponsor, and it's also available on Amazon, so you can get the book no matter what you're looking for. We have scarves with the Westfield 350. I know it's starting to get warmer, but all winter people have been buying the scarves. We've had knit hats. Two items that are really selling exceptionally well right now. We created a commemorative coin that has our logo on it. On one side, it's a polished aluminum look. On the other side, it's a white ceramic and blue colored look, and it's really quite striking. Those sell for $10, and those are going very well. Great commemorative item for people. But what's really selling well, and it's really unique, this part of the Westfield history that I've learned. In 1892, Westfield started paving its dirt roads, so Elm Street and Main Street, they were all dirt at one time. And so they took, I've heard two stories, one, the ballast from the sailing ships, they would bring those up and they use that. But also we think that most of our stones were quarried from a local quarry just on the edge of town. But they are big granite blocks that they paved the entire street with, and those were the road surface really until blacktop came along and they started covering those to get rid of the rougher surface. Our DPW, our Department of Public Works, has since dug those up because of road resurfacing projects and stuff, and those have been in a big pile. So we got the idea of, we went through the pile, we found the best ones that are really in good shape. We have our local Smith Memorial is etching digging out a cavity that we're then cementing the coin into. So it's really part of Westfield history. You can buy for $20. We only make a couple of dollars off it. We're not looking to make money. But your own Elm Street or School Street paver with the commemorative coin cemented into it, those we cannot keep on the shelves. We are continually replenishing, taking more coins up and saying, here's some more stones. Can you cement these together? Exceptionally popular. People are using them in their flower gardens, or they're using them as a bookend on a bookshelf or just something in their house. But the fact that it's part of Westfield's history, this was the road surface for so long, the old cobblestone granite pavers. It's just amazing. And they're good size. They probably weigh 20, 25 pounds a piece. They're heavy to carry around. But really excited about that as a treasured commemorative item that people can keep for years and years and years.
This celebration is also expanded out to Montgomery, Russell, and Southwick.
Yeah, those three communities were part of Westfield in 1669, and I don't have the exact dates committed to memory, but roughly 100 years after the founding, they started to split off. I know that Southwick is celebrating their 250th next year. Montgomery is in the same situation, and Russell. We are excited to share the celebration with them. I know that Southwick is putting a float in, and we will be inviting them to be a part of our celebration and welcome. We know that, especially Montgomery and Russell, we fondly refer to the Hilltowns, and even members of Southwick, they come, and they were at first night. They come to our lectures, and we welcome them all. We welcome them all.
What can you tell us about what you've learned about what Westfield was like back in 1669 or that time frame?
We were the wilderness. Now, we weren't the most western settlement. Albany was settled long before us, but on the other side of the Berkshires. But for the colony of Massachusetts, Westfield was the furthest west because the Berkshires became the wall. And the only people that were out here were our Native Americans, the first people, as they are referred to. But it really was trappers coming out looking for beaver in particular. That's what was the lure. You had the Westfield River coming in. You had the Little River coming in. A lot of streams, a lot of ponds. So it was really prolific for animal life. And that's really the big thing that got it started. And then people wanted to settle. We were really the West. Springfield, I believe, is 25 years older than us. I think they just celebrated their 375th. But we were really the Westfields to Springfield, and the settlement really got started there. So in 1669, they were incorporated as a town. The charter required them to find a pastor or minister to live there and to become part of the community within 2 years of the founding of the city.
Oh.
So by December of 1671 is when they found Reverend Edward Taylor in Boston and brought him in. And it was just a matter of weeks, really, before their charter was going to be pulled because they did not have a minister. And he became one of the most prolific poets of his time. He was really the minister. He was the person you went to for counseling. He was the doctor. He just did everything. But Westfield was just a small, really fur trading post. They created a palisade for protection from the Native Americans, and it just slowly started growing. They went through the Indian raids with the King Philip's War and survived those. Life was pretty hard back then, though, and it really speaks to that hardy strength of the colonial culture at the time, that they could survive the winters and not enough food and the dangers of the wilderness. It was really a tough, tough life. But Westfield continued to grow, and the rivers were a source of power. Whip making became the prominent form of industry in the 1800s. We produced, I think, around 95% of all the buggy whips in the world. And don't hold me to the number, but 48-ish whip companies at the time in the 1800s. It was just huge until the internal combustion engine came and put them out of business. Now it's all about tool and die and really high-end manufacturing that goes on there. And Westfield is really, really doing well as a community, but truly a reflection of our past, but a community that has continued to look forward welcoming different groups of populations, the Irish at the time and the Hispanic community, the Russian Ukrainians. It's a real mix of different populations, but wonderful community to live in and just be a part of.
Yeah, now, the Westfield State University students have been doing some historical essays. That's tied in with this whole celebration?
Dr. Vanessa Deanna is a member of our board of directors. She's a professor at the university. She's just been phenomenal. And she both represents the Westfield 350, but she's also representing the university. But she, very early on, she had a freshman-level class that she wanted to get involved and had asked me about whether they could come to a meeting. And I said, yeah, you can. And we'll go one better than that. We'll actually create a spot on our board of directors. So there are three students that rotate around and come to our board meetings and stuff. But right now, she's got a course entitled Westfield at 350. And they're using our history book as their textbook.
Wow.
So it was really cool because all of a sudden in November, we had all these students coming down buying textbooks. What's going on? And this was their course. But they have been coming to all the lecture series. They're going out interviewing different businesses. They're touring the city. They're really learning about the city because for students, they're here essentially for 4 years. This is their home now. And they need to know about their home and not just life up on the campus. So she's really done a great job in getting them involved and immersed in Westfield culture.
Unfortunately, I think we're running a little long here, which is just fine because this is fascinating. And I don't think we're going to have time to actually sing a few bars of the Westfield 350th song and music. I know that totally disappoints
you.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
But can you tell me a little bit about the song, how it was created?
It came out of our committee. Joyce Peregrin, who is a member of our board of directors, really latched on the idea of having a song, and she knew of a local musician, a professional musician, talked to him and contracted with him to write the song and the music, and he produced it, I believe, in Nashville. And it's on our website. So when you go to westfield350.org, if you just scroll down a little bit, it's about the middle of the page, you'll see a link. It's him singing the song, and it really talks about Westfield life. And what we did to make it more interesting, Ken Stomsky, who's our webmaster, did a phenomenal job on this, of really collecting a lot of historic photographs. And what he did was try to link the type, what the lyrics are talking about, to the type of photographs that he had showing. And they, so the photographs roll through as the song is singing. But it's really always talking about essentially coming back to Westfield. Westfield is home. Come back to Westfield. It's a great song.
There's always something about coming back home. City lights approaching. Over the bridge and into this town. Traffic stop and move in. And people tend to stay around. Familiar face with the same old crowd. But people still know your name. Who is who and who's to blame? For silly pranks before high school games. Of hockey, football, baseball, still the same. Generations go on past, and mornings go by way too fast. We don't need another time. We don't need another vision. Because we're here and now in Westfield, Mass. Still moving forward, built to last. Held on values we hold true. Still raise high, red, white, and blue. We're proud and strong, get the job done. Make some time for a little fun. Come see what we've done today. Westfield is here to stay. Stanley Park to Little River Road, so many opportunities arose. Manufacture whips and arms and gear, the supply chain of the world starts here. Heroes rise when called upon, police and fire and National Guard. Community will rise above to protect and serve in our backyard. We don't need another time. We don't need another vision. We're here now. Westfield now. Still moving forward, built to last. Held on values we hold true. Still raise high red, white, and blue. We're proud and strong to get the job done. Make some time for a little fun. Come see what we've done today. Westfield is here to stay. Lost city life of Dickens days. Sprinkles holiday cheer among winter's grays. Streetlights glow with gaslight warm to bring us back to charm. We hold tight to tradition here and celebrate 350 years of rebuilds, wars fought, and kids coming home from victories, losses, and parts unknown. They don't need another time. They don't need another vision. They're coming home to Westfield, Mass. Still moving forward, built to last. Held on values we hold true. Still raise high red, white, and blue. They're proud and strong to get the job done. But make some time for a little fun. Come see what they've done today. Westfield is here to stay. Here to stay.
If you were talking to someone who is trying to find a place to live, is going to move to Massachusetts, what would you tell them about Westfield to invite them to Westfield?
If you are looking for a community that embraces diversity, great place to live, opportunity to work, to worship, to shop, wonderful schools, recreation, access to the mountains, easy access to the big cities, Westfield is your place. There's a little bit of innocence that's still there. Not to say that we don't have our problems, every community does, but we don't have the deep-rooted problems that you see in a lot of the inner cities. Lord knows everybody is struggling with drugs and those types of issues, but they're not deep-rooted yet. There's still some innocence. This is a community that embraces family values. It's a community that really looks out for itself and a community that just wants to make sure that everyone is supported and has the means by which to be the best that they can be. And if you're looking for a community that will welcome you, make you want to be a part of their community, and inspire you to step up and become part of the community itself, then Westfield is for you.
Any last comments you'd like to make about Westfield, Westfield's history, or the upcoming celebration?
The only thing I will say is I just want to personally thank all my volunteers for the hard work that they have done. I want to say thank you to Westfield for welcoming my wife Ann and I to our community, and we've lived there now for 28, going on 29 years. But we all want you to be a part of this big birthday celebration Friday, May 17th, Saturday, May 18th, and Sunday, May 19th. This is your celebration, Westfield. We're doing it for you. Come out, support it. Make us proud. Show your civic pride by putting some lights up on your houses and your storefronts and your business windows. But most importantly, just embrace our community and celebrate all that we have been to appreciate all that we are that makes us excited about our future going forward.
If someone wanted to get more information about Westfield or about the celebration, maybe a list of events to come, how would you direct them?
Go to our website, westfield350.org. Everything is going to be on there. And we also have a Facebook site, Westfield350. Like that site. We are very active on Facebook. You will see everything that we have been doing. We will be posting to that, but definitely the website in particular.
All right. Well, Harry, thank you very much. I appreciate all the information that you've given us. Obviously, there's a lot going on and a lot that goes on that's a lot of fun, frankly.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And it's everything about, as I said, fun, memorable, historic, educational. The most important part is people celebrating people and wanting to be part of a really special community.
And best way to learn something is through fun, definitely. Well, again, thank you very much, Harry. Really appreciate having you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
We've been speaking today with Harry Rock, president of the Friends of the Westfield 350th Committee. Westfield, incorporated back in May 1669, celebrating its 350th anniversary this year. We wish them all well, and it's a great community. Thank you very much for listening to Valley Eye Radio.